Hello and welcome to worship on this third Sunday in Lent. Now we're continuing to build our own worship space around the cross at home. Today's theme is righteous anger, not losing your temper anger. This was the anger that Jesus showed. So what makes you angry? What really makes you want to speak out and say something, or even to write a letter? Jesus was prompted to righteous anger at the temple in Jerusalem when he was confronted with birds and animals being sold at unfair prices and currency being converted at exorbitant rates of commission. And all that in God's house of prayer. So what kind of thing makes you want to stop? Ask God's blessing on how you should respond, and then to make your own metaphorical whip of cords. Now, next to my Lent cross this week, I'm putting down a padlock to symbolise the persecution faced by Christians and other people of faith. You might put a tin of food to represent those who need to use food banks, or a house key as an image of the hope so many homeless people have of finding somewhere to live. In John 2, verse 16b, we read that Jesus said, or probably shouted, "Stop turning my Father's house into a market." So we pray. Lord of justice, you became angry, yet you were in control of your actions, even pausing to make a whip out of cords. Help me to pause when I feel driven to anger and send your Spirit to help me act justly and decisively for your sake, not my own. In the challenge to seek out justice, may I always be able to stand my ground as you did, without fear and in the full and certain knowledge that my anger is not about me, but about you and your kingdom. Amen.
Sing of your Lord's goodness, melodies of praise and thanks to Lord of justice, we praise you for your unconditional love for all people and your demands for equality in how we treat each other. Lord of mercy, we praise you for the forgiveness you offer those who repent of their selfish and unfair actions. Lord of recreation and restoration, we praise you for prompting us to look out for injustice in our society and in our local communities. We are sorry for every headline and news item that makes you angry and sad. Forgive us for allowing our own narrow perspectives and selfish interests to blind us to what is really going on. Restore us from our blinkered and parochial perspectives and help us to see your world as our parish, as John Wesley did. Lord, we thank you for sending Jesus to show us how to treat each other with justice and mercy. We are grateful for his example and for the strength and inspiration he gives us as we reflect on injustice in our world today. Thank you for the boldness and clarity you give those who speak out and act to correct unfairness and inequality. We bring these our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
This reading is Isaiah 58, verses 6 to 12. Here is the way I want you to fast. Set free those who are held by chains without any reason. Untie the ropes that hold people as slaves. Set free those who are crushed. Break every evil chain. Share your food with hungry people. Provide homeless people with a place to stay. Give naked people clothes to wear. Provide for the needs of your own family. Then the light of my blessings will shine on you like the rising sun. I will heal you quickly. I will march out ahead of you. And my glory will follow behind you and guard you. That's because I always do what is right. You will call out to me for help, and I will answer you. You will cry out, and I will say, here I am. Get rid of the chains you use to hold others down. Stop pointing your finger at others as if they have done something wrong. Stop saying harmful things about them. Work hard to feed hungry people. Satisfy the needs of those who are crushed. Then my blessing will light up your darkness, and the night of your suffering will become as bright as the noonday sun. I will always guide you. I will satisfy your needs in a land baked by the sun. I will make you stronger. You will be like a garden that has plenty of water. You will be like a spring whose water never runs dry. Your people will rebuild the cities that were destroyed long ago, and you will build again on the old foundations. You will be called one who repairs broken walls. You will be called one who makes city streets like new again.
The Methodist Church, the Baptist Union of Great Britain, the Church of Scotland and the United Reformed Church work together as the Joint Public Issues Team, whose strapline is Churches Working for Peace and Justice. So please watch this video produced by the team, which raises issues which may cause righteous anger to rise up in us today.
Stay alert to poverty.
We know that families locked in poverty are under increasing pressure, and food banks tell us more children are going hungry.
Low-income families are more likely to become seriously ill with COVID-19 and even die of it.
We must stay alert to poverty, tackling the pressures it puts on families today, and as the crisis passes, making the right decisions to build an economy where families thrive and food banks can close.
Stay alert to racial justice.
We know that people from black and minority ethnic backgrounds have been hit hardest by COVID-19 and are more likely to have become seriously ill or died from the virus.
People from BAME backgrounds are overrepresented in vital but low-paid and high-risk jobs like health and social care.
We must stay alert to racial justice, sharing the risks and rewards of reopening the economy fairly, making the right decisions to create a society where every person can flourish.
Stay alert to the planet.
We know that before COVID-19, the climate crisis was already having devastating effects, from flooding in the UK to whole communities being destroyed in the Pacific.
We must stay alert to the planet. Together we can restart the economy in the right way that both protects the environment and enables people to thrive.
Stay alert to justice.
We know this is only the beginning. As we go through the crisis together, we must stay alert to justice.
COVID-19 has brought huge changes to all our lives, and inequalities mean that some people have been hit even harder than others.
The world on the other side of the lockdown will be different. If we stay alert to justice, we can make the right choices about how to move on.
Where everyone's story and experience is heard and helps shape our future together.
For God said, "Let justice flow like a river and righteousness like a never-ending stream."
So we pause for a moment to reflect and pray in response to what we've just seen and heard.
Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
In Jesus' name.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus said, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name, welcomes me. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.
The reading today is from John 2, verse 13 to 25. Jesus clears out a temple courtyard. It was almost time for the Jewish Passover feast, so Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courtyard, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves. Others were sitting at tables exchanging money. So Jesus made a whip out of ropes. He chased all the sheep and cattle from the temple courtyard. He scattered the coins of the people exchanging money, and he turned over their tables. He told those who were selling doves, "Get it out of here! Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remembered what had been written. It says, "My great love for your house will destroy me." Then the Jewish leaders asked him, "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do this?" Jesus answered them, "When you destroy this temple, I will raise it up again in 3 days." They replied, "It had taken 46 years to build this temple. Are you going to raise it up in 3 days? But the temple Jesus had spoken about was his body. His disciples later remembered what he had said. That was after he had been raised from the dead. Then they believed the scripture. They also believed the words that Jesus had spoken. Meanwhile, he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast. Many people saw the signs he was doing, and they believed in his name. But Jesus did not fully trust them. He knew what people are like. He did not need anyone to tell him what people are like. He already knew why people do what they do.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I'm not often provoked to anger of any kind. In fact, I've been described as emotionally regulated, whatever that means. Now, you might call that a good thing, but there is a case sometimes for anger. If it's used in a measured way to make a difference, to speak out and to act against injustice. I've felt some anger and definitely frustration about the COVID-19 related issues in our country and beyond that have seemed unfair to so many people. I even wrote to my MP, not something I would normally do. Now, the Methodist Church has developed a resource called A Methodist Way of Life. This is a helpful tool which, when reflecting on our discipleship, can help us follow Jesus better. Amongst other things, it invites us to commit to challenging injustice and, more specifically, to regularly ask ourselves two questions. What issues of injustice are you currently concerned about? And what are you doing in response? Now, Jesus spoke out and acted powerfully in today's gospel reading, didn't he? And it proved to be a key event which led to unjust treatment at the hands of the Jewish leaders, which in turn led to his crucifixion. In today's reading, for Jesus, concerned about would have been a massive understatement. He was angry, but without losing control or his temper. What he did in response has caused many to speculate as to whether he had indeed lost his rag, perhaps, or blown his top, as we might say. His protest was drastic and powerful, but it's clear from the mention of his pausing to make a whip out of cords that his response was measured, if dramatic. In our reading from Isaiah, God commands us to respond to injustice of all kinds. Set free those who are held by chains without any reason. Untie the ropes that hold people as slaves. Set free those who are crushed. Break every evil chain. Share your food with hungry people. Provide homeless people with a place to stay. And give naked people clothes to wear. So if we pay close attention to today's news, we'll probably have no trouble finding examples that would go alongside these words. They command us to respond to injustice, and we are to carry them out in whatever way we can in our daily lives. However, let's make sure that our anger and what we do about it is measured and well thought out, acting as Jesus would have done. So what was it exactly that drove Jesus to do what he did in the outer court of the Gentiles, in the temple in Jerusalem, on that Passover day? What was the injustice he spoke out against? Was it more than just cluttering up the prayer space and filling it with noise and smells? He would have known that many of the pilgrims of all races who were there to celebrate Passover and to offer their sacrifice to God probably walked all day from their home, carrying a lamb or some other creature, according to their means. Now, that animal or bird had to be perfect if it were to be accepted as a worthy sacrifice. In other words, it was to be the best sacrifice that they could make. The problem was that the temple officials would tend to say that no matter how white the lamb was or how perfect the pair of doves might have been, they were just not good enough, and the pilgrim would have to buy one of their approved creatures. Now, that would mean that they would have to spend far more than the usual price. It was a bit like when you go to the theatre, if you can remember that far back, and you want an ice cream at the interval. But you know that tiny pot will cost you twice what it would be in a supermarket. But you don't have any choice. Those pilgrims also had to pay the temple tax. But they could only pay in one or two approved currencies. The pilgrim would be charged an exorbitant rate of exchange before they could make that payment. A current example of such exploitation might be the higher prices we have to pay for our diesel or petrol at a service station, just because we've no other choice if we don't want to run out of fuel. If this kind of injustice had been elsewhere, then it would have been bad enough. But this was the temple. And more than that, it was the Feast of Passover. People had come to give thanks and to worship the God who had saved their ancestors, and therefore their nation, from slavery. But here were racketeers or scammers, exploiting the occasion out of sheer self-interest or greed. This seems to be what provoked Jesus to anger. As we can hear in his exclamation, "Stop turning my Father's house into a market." Importantly, Jesus was in the outer court of the Gentiles, an area where people who had not been born a Jew, but who still followed the Jewish religion, could bring the best animal or bird they had to be offered by the priest as their thank offering to God. It was also an area where those who were not following the Jewish religion, foreigners or people of other races, could come, perhaps to ask questions of the rabbis. What kind of impression would they have taken away with them? Surely not one that God had intended when he said these words through Isaiah the prophet. "Then I will bring them to my holy mountain of Zion, and I will give them joy in my house. They can pray there. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices on my altar. My house will be called a house where people from all nations can pray." Now, we've just sung the words, "All are welcome in this place," haven't we? But at this moment, we have to think of this place without thinking of the bricks and mortar, don't we? We are the church, and we must still consider how welcoming we are, even though we cannot meet together. Can we truly say all are welcome in our church families? Just how welcoming and inclusive are we? Are we reaching out to those who cannot access the internet? Are we keeping in touch with everybody with a connection to our church families? Are we truly inclusive, and especially at this difficult time? So when the time comes to consider meeting again in our buildings, will we respect and respond with sensitivity to everybody's fears and concerns? It was clear that the temple authorities would not have been able to say with sincerity those words from the hymn, "All are welcome in this place," as they were not ensuring fair treatment of those who were visiting that day. God welcomes everyone and loves them equally. We need to remember this if we're not to fall into the trap of treating each other, as well as visitors, unfairly. So we're faced with a clear challenge: to address unfair treatment and injustice of all kinds in our churches, in our communities, and in the world. "But there's nothing I can do," you might say. We all tend to think that we can't do anything worthwhile to set things right. After all, we're just one person and we have no influence. We're too young. We're too old. Lacking in confidence. You name it, and we make excuses because of it. At least we can pray, and we can donate what we can, and we can write letters, and we can write emails, can't we? But what good can one person do about so much injustice, you might say? Well, we hear on the news, don't we, that there are individuals who've become known for standing up against unfairness. There's footballer Marcus Rashford campaigning for an extension of the provision of free school meals earlier in the pandemic. And as I prepare this reflection, the radio presenter Jo Wiley, whose sister has contracted COVID-19, is raising awareness of how many people, like her sister, with learning difficulties are being overlooked in the vaccination process. I think we all agree that we can't all be as visible and perhaps as influential as those two personalities, but we can all do something. Because, as Cliff Richard sang in one of his songs, "It's a drop in the bucket, I hear you say, but the bucket gets wetter day by day." So, if we are to put things back to where God intended them to be, if we are to build God's kingdom here on earth, we have to act. Doing nothing changes nothing. If we are Jesus' body here on earth, then we are to speak out and act against injustice of all types. And Scripture has always encouraged God's people to do this. We read in Psalm 82, verse 3, "Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute." In Isaiah, verse 1:17, "Learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless and plead the widow's cause." And so, as the Joint Public Issues Team calls us to do, let's be alert to injustice. Amen.
We come to God to make our offering. Let us pray. Gracious, loving and generous God, we bring you our gifts, the gift of our money, the gift of our time and our talents, all that we are and all that we can be. And we pray that you will use us, each one of us, to change and transform your world into the likeness of Jesus. For in his name we make our offering. Amen.
We come to our prayers for other people. Let us pray. Loving God, we pray for the weak and vulnerable in our world, those who feel powerless in the face of the massive problems that confront them. We pray for the poor, the hungry, the sick and the dying, especially those known to us. We pray for the oppressed, the exploited, the abused and the tortured. We pray for the frightened, the lonely, the hurt and the depressed. We pray for those who live in lands racked by tension, those who face famine and starvation, those who are unemployed and those who are homeless. Loving God, you have expressed a special concern for the bruised, the needy and the weak of the world. May that concern bring strength to all in such need, and may it inspire each one of us and people everywhere to work for a more just society, standing up for the needy and working for that time when there will be an end to suffering, mourning and pain. Stir us up with righteous anger to work for a more inclusive world where everyone is treated with dignity and worth. As education establishments open this week, we pray for all involved in education. Children and teachers, of course, but everyone involved in educating our children and young people, from teaching assistants to those who make their dinners too. We pray for each child and young person returning to school or college that it will be a good and safe return. And loving God, we pray for the week ahead of us, that in all things we may feel your presence and know your touch upon our lives. If we have difficult situations we are facing this week, things that we are not looking forward to, hold us in your care. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen.
God of justice, Savior to all, came to rescue the weak and the poor, chose to serve and not be served. Jesus, you have called us, freely we've received now, freely we will give. We must go live to feed the hungry, stand beside.
beside the broken, we must go. Stepping forward, keep us from just singing, move us into action. We must go. To act justly every day, loving mercy in every way, walking humbly before you, God. You have shown us what you require. Freely we've received, now freely we will give. We must go, live to feed the hungry, stand beside the broken. We must go, stepping forward, keep us from just singing, move us into action. We must go. Send us out, fill us up and send us out, fill us up, send us out, Lord. Fill us up and send us out, fill us up and send us out, fill us up and send us out, Lord.
Serve yourself, but to serve others. Not to seek your glory, but the glory of God the Father. And so may all you are and do make him known. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.